This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to encourage you to once again keep your worship bulletin handy, and if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be glad to get something to you. My understanding is we have a few crayons left for those of you who like to artistically represent what God is laying on your heart. By all means, draw a picture, take notes, take down what's meaningful for you. And we'll allow you to take this message that God will share with us today out with you where he wants you to take it. So this morning, I just wanted to share this with you. Over the years, I've heard this kind of verbalized command, request, slash question, which usually comes out in two words. Watch this. You ever had someone say that to you or maybe make that request to you at a backyard get-together or a school function or a work activity where someone comes to you and says, hey, watch this. Has that ever happened to you? Has that ever been your experience in life? Yeah, so this past week as my wife Kara and I were getting ready to venture off to the frozen land that is Nebraska, my home state, I was thinking about all the memories that God has blessed me with over the years, particularly connected to my family and my sister's family and my two little nephews who are 8 and 5 years old respectively. And if you know those ages, well, you know those ages. So over the years, I've had a number of requests that have come my direction in the context of the Cordy home, the kitchen, the living room, outside. And usually it's been this excited, animated, hey, Uncle Seth, watch this. And I'm amazed at the ways in which these little boys can take something that might seem otherwise ordinary and transform it into the extraordinary. Maybe you've had this experience too. So I can walk in and I can see a pile of Legos, whether it's on the kitchen table, kitchen floor, kitchen counter, living room, or maybe scattered throughout. And then a little bit later, I hear the request, hey, watch this. And in no time at all, that pile of Legos turns into a whole Lego city. You ever seen something like that? Or maybe it happens something like this. There's a bunch of crayons scattered all over the place. And this is our experience here at Praise Lutheran with our little praisers. There's all kinds of art projects and coloring and painting happening all the time. And if you've been here with us for one of our community-focused events like the Easter Extravaganza or the Fall Festival, and you've seen the painting and the art projects that have taken place, you've probably seen some of this morph into action. What starts off as a little bit of crayons, well, it's quickly accompanied with, hey, watch this. And in no time at all, it turns into what's, in the eye of the beholder, a masterpiece. I bet if we were able to take a moment this morning just to go around the room and to share some of these situations, I bet each one of us could come up with a number and a wealth of these situations where you and I were asked to watch this, to take this in, to experience something that might seem a little ordinary, but give it a little time, and wow. Not long ago, in fact, this past week, I was introduced to some artwork by an artist from the late 1500s, early 1600s, by the name of Michelangelo Caravaggio. And I don't know if you know much about this artist. I didn't really until this came my way this past week. But Caravaggio was known for taking the basic and the ordinary and incorporating it into his paintings and his artwork. While everybody else was highlighting the extravagant and the good-looking and the charming and the, oh, that's nice, Caravaggio is taking people on the street who are otherwise overlooked, and using them for his art. He's taken the human condition, and he's capturing it with every brushstroke and every line and curve and detail and every color, not foregoing or forsaking the wrinkles and the blemishes and the hard condition of life. These are the things he pulls into his artwork, and in a big way, if you see one of these, it screams out to you, hey, watch this. One example is this, the Annunciation. Situation that's captured for us and painted for us by Luke, a gospel writer, in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Let me share this with you. If you would, follow along on the screens up front. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. I mean, that's fair, right? I mean, you're just minding your own business, doing your own thing, and all of a sudden, God sends one of his chief angels with a message to you. I don't know about you, but yeah, I might pause for a little bit too. Is this good? Is this bad? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." It's like in a big way, the angel Gabriel, courtesy of the Lord, the God Almighty, has come to Mary and has said, "Mary, watch this. What's about to happen with you and with Joseph in this part of the world, it's going to blow your mind. I'm going to take what seems like the ordinary, the overlooked, the bypassed, the of no consequence, and I'm going to use it to change the world." I don't know if you know much about the culture and the context of this time, but these aren't the folks that you would pick first for your dodgeball team. They don't make the top of your list for the cul-de-sac party or the Christmas party. I guess it wasn't Christmas yet, so fair enough. And if you're going to find people that you really want to invite into a big picture event, you certainly don't go to Nazareth or Bethlehem, two backwater parts of the world, at least in the eyes of the people around. But that's not the way God works. God takes the ordinary, at least what we sometimes call and label the ordinary, and this is what he does. This is what he says. Watch this. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren." And I love this next verse. Would you read this next verse with me? "For nothing will be impossible with God." Boy, I love to hear that. I love to hear that from you. Would you read that with me one more time? "For nothing will be impossible with God." It's as if the angel, courtesy of God, is coming into this situation, into your life and mine today in a big way and says, "Watch this. I'm about to change the landscape of history for all time for you. It's a free gift. Watch this." Let me ask you again, when's the last time you had an experience where someone said, "Watch this"? You know, I understand it's Advent and it's Christmas and there's a lot of nice flowers and nice trees and decorations and lights. But maybe that's not your season. Maybe the last month, or maybe you haven't had nice shiny ornaments and lights to look at. Maybe the last week's been hard for you. Maybe you're going through a season of life where you're wondering, "Boy, I really wish someone would come to me with this kind of request. Watch this. And it would actually be something good for me. Something positive for me and my family. Instead of all these requests and bids to watch this. Watch the dysfunction. Watch the stuff that brings more stress and chaos to life. Watch this. It's going to hurt. Watch this. It's confusing. It doesn't make sense. I'm tired of those. When will someone bring me something That's positive. And when I'm asked to watch this, it's not going to make me turn away and cry. What's this season been like for you? There's a ray of light coming. Hang on. Let me share this with you. Mary responds in this way, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Not long after, and after today's gospel reading where Mary goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, she shares this, and this is oftentimes known as Mary's Magnificat, where she glorifies God. And I'd like to invite you, as we look at this today, I'd like for you to look for and to listen in for the ways in which she points the attention back to God. And she invites you and me through the work of the Holy Spirit today to say, watch this. Watch what God does for you in this season of uncertainty and questions and struggles and trials. Watch this. Pick it up at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." By the way, notice the way in which she notes the reversals that God is able to do. And hold on to that word that we heard, that we said together a moment ago, that we shared with each other, for nothing will be impossible with God. Hang on to this. "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." That includes you. "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." If we follow this faith statement this morning and we put it together with all the faith statements that are shared for purpose for you and for me through the gospel writers and through the authors of Scripture, well, we hear this request of us today in this Advent and Christmas season to watch and to behold something that you and I really need to see in the midst of our seasons, whether you're going through the best season of your life or you feel like right now your season is down in the gutters. God calls out to you and to me this morning through his word and the Holy Spirit, and he says, watch this. Watch our God. Watch this. The Lord, my God, in action, who doesn't come to us born in a palace waiting for accolades and crowds of people to come before him, but shows up in a place like this where livestock feed and livestock hang out. Not to dignitaries and well-known officials and public folks, but to shepherds and to people like us. Watch this, the Lord my God in action, who doesn't come to wear a crown like this, but wears a crown like this, a crown of humility, a crown of service and sacrifice for you and for me. Watch this, the Lord my God, who's not here in this place like every other king and every other official, but watch this, the action of our God who comes from the tomb and does his ministry from life for you. Watch this, the Lord my God in action, who doesn't sit in a palace waiting to be served, but who goes out and serves with his very life for you, to cover a debt that you and I could never repay, and to guarantee that because Jesus Christ lives, you and I have hope. Amen? Watch this, the Lord my God in action. Friends, this Christmas and this Advent season and every season for the rest of our lives, this is the request of God through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word. Watch him. Watch Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we ask for help to do just that, to watch Jesus. In the midst of our busy schedules and lives, and amidst the stress and chaos of life, Father, if we're honest with ourselves and with you this morning, we'd have to confess that our focus has not been on you, not on what you've done for us and what you continue to do for us through Jesus. Father, sometimes we've put ourselves in some very, very tough situations, but sometimes it feels like situations have found us, and we've been forced to watch things and witness things and hear things we really don't want to, things that strip away our hope. But Father, today we pray that you would help us to keep our focus on Jesus, who gave his life for us on the cross and yet who lives again. This Jesus who continues to take the ordinary and transforms it into the extraordinary. This Jesus with whom everything will be possible. Because of Christ, we have hope. And so I pray today, Lord, for all those here and for all those who aren't able to join us, I pray, Lord, that your hope would penetrate and infiltrate those areas of our lives and our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.